Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. I recently did a video on pool pump runtimes and the ideal runtimes. I'm going to unpack this more because in a 4-minute video, I can't put all the details in there that need to be in there. But for this podcast, I'll definitely expand on it so that you can set your pool runtime appropriately and set the runtime for your customers as well. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. And one of the constant battles you're going to have out there if you service pools is fighting customers over the runtime. It's one of those things where is out of your control really, because at least in my area, they just raised the kilowatt hour rate from 35, I believe, to 38 or 39, which makes electricity really expensive. And the customer has a right to be really concerned about the pump runtime because basically the pool pump is the second largest consumer of electricity in the summertime. And in first place is the air conditioner unit. And second is usually the pool pump. So it's going to be expensive to run the pool longer because like in my area, everything adds up and you're in different tiers. And if you get to tier 3, you're going to be paying, you know, 3 times or 2 times more for the same electricity use. So you want to try to keep the electricity use lower so that you don't pay so much money. But inevitably, it's going to cost you because having a pool is something that's going to raise your expenses all around, from, you know, pool service to water to electricity. All these things are the cost of having a pool and having the enjoyment of having that pool. So again, it's a big battle out there where customers are changing their timer and lowering down the runtime, which does affect the quality of the water and cause problems for you as a service professional. And I think one of the things that you really need to realize is that if you can sell them on a variable speed pump, it'll make your life a lot easier in most cases. Sometimes you're fighting the customer with the VS runtime as well. I had one customer in particular that no matter how much data I can give him and explain things to him, all the illustrations I can give him, you know, you're driving at 70 miles an hour, now you're driving at 35 miles an hour, it's going to take you twice as long to get to your destination, right? All these examples that I gave him just didn't sink in, and whenever I would get to his pool, he would have the runtime for the VS pump cut down to about 1/3 of where I wanted it, and I was always resetting it. And finally, I gave up the battle, and he just had to deal with algae, cloudy water, and just a poor pool because he just was always fighting me on the runtime. The VS pump technically should save you at least 50% on your energy costs. I know the manufacturers say 80 or 90% some of them have on their sites. That's a little bit unrealistic in the real world because their calculations are just running the pump at 1700 RPMs for like 20 hours a day. And that's unrealistic because you really can't have your salt system generating chlorine at that RPM. And RPM stands for revolutions per minute. I guess I should back up, and I didn't really go into this in the video too much, but a single speed pump runs at 3400 RPMs. And that's the full speed, and that's the revolutions per minute in the actual motor itself. The impeller spinning, everything is working. That's how fast it's pulling, or the speed of the pump, pulling the water in. And with a variable speed pump, you can actually lower that speed or RPM down even to half or less than half. So if you cut it in half and do 1700 RPMs, you would run your pool twice as long as you normally would run it if you had a single speed pump. Basically, if you do the math, 3400 minus 1700 is 1700, which is half, so it's running at half speed. But at half speed, it's actually not saving you half electricity. Basically, if you had a 1.5 horsepower motor on the back of your pump, you'll probably get generating anywhere from 1400 to 1800 watts depending on the motor itself. And if you're running that same pump with a VS pump at 1700 RPMs, it's not going to be 700 watts or 800 watts. It's actually going to be around 200 to 300 watts every hour that the pump is running. Because when you lower the speed to half, you're not just cutting the electricity cost by half. You're cutting the electricity cost by about 1/4 or 1/5 because of the fact you can modulate the speed. And it's just not revving up enough to use all that wattage. So that's why it's great to have a VS pump. And the battle you fight, of course, with that is that optically now, let's say the customer had a standard speed pump and you were running the pool 8 hours a day. Now you're running the pool 16 hours, 18 hours a day. And the customer's first thought is, well, wait a minute. I put this pump in to save money and the pool guy has it running longer. So therefore, I'm not saving money and I got to cut the runtime down. So if you can explain to the customer, if they're reasonable, you can explain to them that they're actually saving a ton of electricity. You can even show them if they have the app or if it's on the pump itself, they can see the wattage that it's running at. And something fun to do is to turn it up to full speed, 3400 RPMs, and then you can see the wattage being used, and then you can see the wattage at 1700. And that's a good visual aid for the customer to realize that, yes, this pump is saving me a lot of money on my electricity bill, at least 50%, because I run them on two speeds, one low speed, and then I use a medium speed. Because if you keep the pool at 1700 RPMs all day long, it's not going to look really pretty. There's no way the skimmer is going to activate to bring in the leaves. Stuff's going to fall to the bottom. Automatic cleaners that are connected to the system, like a suction side cleaner, are going to operate properly. So you do need a medium speed, sometimes a high medium speed, to get the cleaner running and to get the water kind of cleaned and cleared up, and really to circulate the water at a pretty good rate. So the manufacturer ratings are kind of just like when you buy a car and they tell you you're going to get, you know, 28 miles per gallon. But in reality, you're getting like 23 miles per gallon because you drive the car like a normal person, not like a robot. And same thing with setting the variable speed pump speeds. You're going to get a good savings on your electricity. At least half of it's going to be saved. But to get that 70 or 80%, you have to run it at low speed all the time, which is not practical for most pool applications. I think that you need to have a medium speed. So I'll do two speeds. In the video, I gave an example of a 15,000 gallon pool running at 1800 RPMs, which is a little bit higher than the half because most salt systems won't activate. Saltwater generators won't have enough flow unless the pump is running at 1800 RPMs, which gives it enough flow so that it'll actually start producing the chlorine for the pool. If you don't have a saltwater generator, then definitely you can go on 1700 RPMs. But I always do 1800 RPMs as a default, just in case you have a saltwater generator. So 1800 RPMs, about 20 gallons per minute, maybe 25 gallons per minute. You would run that for 12 hours, and that would get you one cycle of water through. Now, this is a term that we use in the industry. It's not really something theoretically that is the truth because not all of the pool water will get through the pool because scientifically it doesn't work that way. There was a research paper done. I referred to it in a separate podcast about the first cycle. In fact, I have it here. I can pull it up so I get the numbers correct. I don't want to make a mistake here. But it was a really interesting article that talked about how much water is actually pulled through the filter each time you cycle the water. And again, one cycle is basically all the water being pulled in from the skimmer into the pump, going through the filter, and back out into the pool. And this article states the decay curve. So basically, the first cycle, you're going to get 63% of the water through. So more than half is going to go through the filter. On your second cycle, which I recommend two cycles, you're going to get 86%. That's pretty good because basically the reason why you're circulating in it is that you want the chlorine to get into most of the water or touch most of the water so that if there's any viruses and bacteria, it'll kill them. Microorganisms will be killed by the chlorine. But if the water is not being cycled, then the chlorine can't get to where it needs to go. And if you do three cycles, you're going to get 95% of the water through. So interestingly, you don't get 100% because there's always dead spots in the pool. And you know this, you know, from practicality. There's areas in the pool where you really can't get the circulation. The return jets aren't going to push the water directly into the skimmer. And this is why it's important to do two cycles at least if you have the pool with heavy use. Now, if you're not using your pool and never use it, then I think one cycle is probably sufficient. long as the water quality looks good, you get away with not going through two cycles because you're not using the pool anyway. And so it's safe to swim because no one's swimming in it at that point. So to do two cycles, I would say, would be ideal, which gets 86% of the water through the filter and back out, which pretty much circulates the chlorine good enough, in my opinion. That's like a B+, basically. And if you wanted to get 95%, which is closer to an A+, you would do three cycles of water. But sometimes you can't do that depending on how large the pool is, unless you are running it at a much higher speed. Now, pool size is a definite factor. The bigger the pool, the longer you're going to need to run it on a low speed, and the longer you're going to need to run it on a medium speed. And you might cut some corners by running it at a high speed. But I would say you wouldn't need anything over 3,100 RPMs in most cases. I had a 30,000 gallon pool at one time on a VS pump, and I actually ran that one at about 3,200 RPMs for the medium speed because it was such a big pool that I couldn't run it any less than that. And it ran for 23 hours a day with a low speed and a high medium speed in it. And that got two cycles of water through. You'll notice water quality problems when you're running it less than one cycle or two cycles. Some people run it even less than one cycle, and that's algae, cloudy water. It's just not going to look pretty. It's going to be kind of hazy when you look at the pool, and it's going to have a lot of dirt on the bottom, a lot of surface dirt, because when you run the pool, it's important to circulate the water, and the more you run it, the better you're going to have these kind of side effects of not running, which is dirt on the bottom, leaves everywhere, and just poor looking water quality. Now, if you have a single speed pump, you really need to think about running it for at least two cycles to really get the pool circulated. Because if you think about it logically, yes, you can run it for one 4-hour cycle. Like in the video, I was using a 15,000 gallon pool with 65 gallons per minute. And that means that you would have to run it 3.8 hours, which is a little less than 4 hours to get one cycle through. But that means that the pool is off for like 20 hours a day. And that's probably not optimal for circulation, and definitely not for getting the chlorine circulated, especially if you're going to use the pool. So I would say you would want to run that 8 hours, since it's actually 3.8, which is not quite 4 hours. If you run it for 10 hours, you're going to get almost three cycles of water through, which is like 95% of the water, according to this study. Now, the study, it was interesting. The study said that if they make filters like cartridge filters and sand filters more efficient, you can actually get a better result with lower turnover. But since the filters for the pool industry are not as efficient as the scientists recommend, then their stand is that you would want to run the pool at least two or three cycles to get most of the chlorine through the pool. And that's the key thing. You're trying to prevent bather-to-bather disease transmission. And I know that no one wants to get sick, and no customer, you don't want any of your customers saying that their kids got an ear infection because the pool wasn't sanitized correctly. But that can happen if you don't have the water circulating enough. And of course, one of these factors that I didn't talk about too much in the video until the end was that the chlorine level is also really critical in this whole ratio here. You could run the pool 24/7, but if you don't have any chlorine in there, or if you have the improper level of chlorine, not going to do any good because nothing is there to sanitize the water and kill the viruses, bacteria, microorganisms that's in the water. So the chlorine level is important, and you want to have a good free chlorine level in the pool so that you can be safe to swim in. Also, the filter is also important. So if the filter is dirty, the water is not going to circulate at a good rate. There's going to be some resistance. The PSI gauge on top is how we kind of gauge, the pressure, the cleanliness of the filter. So you want to make sure that you have a clean filter. After you clean it, you should mark the gauge at the clean point. And then when it goes up by 10 PSI, you want to take that filter apart and clean it or backwash it, depending if you have a sand or D filter. But the point is that also the chlorine level, the sanitizer level, and the pool filter condition are two factors that need to be considered, along with the circulation or the pool runtime. In the video, at the beginning, I mentioned a flow meter, and I think this is something that's crucial if you really want to set the runtime. You can kind of guesstimate. Basically, I use a 50 gallon per minute guesstimate when I don't have a flow meter on a pool. Usually a pool with a single speed pump is going to pull more than 50 gallons a minute, but I know that on medium speed, 2300 RPMs, 2400 RPMs, you're going to at least get 50 gallons per minute based on my research and kind of doing pools for so long. I know that a VS pump, a decent sized VS pump, with full-size equipment is going to at least pull 50 gallons per minute at 2400 RPMs. And then, of course, if you're running a single-speed pump at 3400 RPMs, you're going to get more than 50 gallons a minute. And you have all this stuff that's against you, you know, the resistance, total head, total dynamics, and, you know, the curves in the plumbing, all these things go against true flow. If you look at, like, the manufacturer's chart on, like, a Pentair Whisper Flow, it says you're going to get, like, 110 gallons per minute, but that's with no resistance. So it's just, like, the pump and the straight pipe going straight. And in the reality of the real pool equipment world, there's going to be curves in there. There's going to be 90-degree elbows. There's going to be resistance from just about everything. And so you're not going to get that kind of gallons per minute, but you're going to get at least 60, 70 gallons per minute. So if you want to go off a 50-gallon per minute baseline, that's perfectly fine. But I think a flow meter is kind of essential if you really want to do this correctly, especially with a VS pump. If you don't know how many gallons per minute it's pumping out at 1800 RPMs or 2000 RPMs, it's good to have a flow meter. And it's one of those things where if you want to set it exactly and maximize the energy savings, a flow meter is essential. I like the FlowViz because you can retrofit it with a Jandy check valve. So if there's a Jandy check valve already, maybe in front of the heater or after the heater or in front of the pump or above the pump, you can just take that out and put the retrofit FlowViz in there. Or you can plumb one in. It's pretty easy to plumb in. It's like plumbing in a check valve if you have a spot for it. And it's 98% accurate, so I think it's a great device to install. They look cool too, and they hold up really well over time. I have some on my route that are at least 10, 12 years old, right around there, 10 years old at least, and they're holding up perfectly fine on the equipment. And you can buy those, the ones that you drill into the pipes also. They're pretty effective, not quite as accurate, but it'll give you a good enough reading to know how long to run that pump. So a flow meter is definitely essential, and that will help you set the runtime. Basically, you take the size of the pool, and this is how I do it. I take the size of the pool, which is 15,000 gallons, and then you can actually divide that by 20 gallons per minute, which is the one I quoted for the low speed earlier here in the podcast, and then you divide that by 60, and that'll give you 12.5 hours. Or you can take the 15,000 gallons, divide that by 60, which is 60 minutes, and then you divide that by the 20 gallons per minute, it will give you 12.5 as well. The math gives you the same answer. You can do it either direction, but you just take the amount of gallons divided by the flow, which is 20 gallons per minute, and then divided by 60, which is 60 minutes in every hour, and that gives you the amount of hours to run the pool pump. Pretty basic, and it's something that you should be able to do easily. You can, of course, use online calculators, but to me, it's simple math to get how long to run the pool. And once you get that with the flow meter, you can set your pool exactly to run for that time, and that maximizes your energy savings. And you don't waste kind of energy running the pool longer than it needs to be run. So the flow meter is a great investment. Maybe it costs you $150 to get it, put it in, but it's going to save you much more than that during the season. If you're looking for other podcasts I've recorded, you can find those on my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. Click on the banner with the podcast icon, and then there'll be a drop-down menu of over 1,400 podcasts for you to listen to there. And if you're interested in the coaching program, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.